Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you've had good rest last night and you're feeling good today. I know sometimes kind of midway through and towards the end of the feast, people get worn down a little, start to get tired, so it's a good time to get a little bit extra sleep, maybe have a little more water or vitamins. I have a question for you this morning. In life, you know, when you think about your life, in life, does God allow you and me to be put in certain situations to test and try us and to train us? Does God allow us to live in a world where we have constant battles with what's going on around us? Does God allow us to encounter things that we have to struggle with to overcome? And does God allow us to go through this for our own good and for a greater future promise? There's a story from the book of Judges, and if you want to go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 6 and mark that, because we'll be back and forth to Judges 6 and 7 for the next 30 minutes. But there's a story from the book of Judges that carries incredible lessons for us at the Feast of Tabernacles this year. They're lessons that show us how to live in a certain way, how we should interact with God in a certain way. And most importantly, or ultimately, how we should at some point take a step forward in faith and do something that we may not be comfortable doing, but it's what God wants you and me to do. Today we're going to look at the story of Gideon and learn from it how to prepare for what the feast is teaching us, how to get the most out of what's left of the feast, and then how to approach the next 12 months so that you and I return to the feast, that you and I remain faithful, and that we return as different human beings than we are today. Better, more developed, with greater understanding, and with more of the characteristics that God wants you and me to have. The story of Gideon is a story of incredible faith. And I think sometimes when I picture the story of Gideon, I picture a time where there was this wonderful human being who did great things, and it's not really applicable to me. But I think what we'll see over the next few minutes is the story of a man who was not sure of everything about life. A story of a man that had a little self-doubt, that asked God over and over and over and over, help me improve who and what I am. He was a man, just like you and I are, who struggled and eventually overcame and eventually did incredible things. What we see in this story, and we'll just do a little brief background, is Israel went through good times and bad times. They went through periods where they obeyed and honored and loved God, and God blessed them. And then they went through periods where they turned their back on God, and God allowed them to go through incredibly rough times. The story of Gideon is the story of when Israel was overtaken by the Midianites and were living basically in poverty, living under fear. When they would grow good crops, the Midianites would come take them. When they would have something good happen, the Midianites would come and attack them again. So the Israelites went off into a little mountain area up on the side of a hill. They dug caves, and they basically hid out waiting for something else to happen. And it was during this time that Israel said to God, forgive us for who and what we are. And God started the story of Gideon. God started Gideon down a path to change Israel's future. Let's go down. We'll just start in verse 11. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was by Ophrah, which belonged to Josiah the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So we see that Gideon was basically like you and I would probably be if we were under outside oppression, is we would try to do things. Maybe we would hide this wheat, so or the barley, so that we could keep some for the family. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." The angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "Something's about to change in your life. God is with you, you mighty man of valor." The Clark commentary said that it appears that Gideon had proved himself on former occasions to be a man of courage and personal prowess. He is qualified for his purpose. The instrument thus chosen are generally unlikely. Think about that for you and me, because all of these things apply to you and me as well. But they will ever be found the best qualified for divine employment. God saw something in Gideon that he wanted to use to do something bigger and better. So Gideon didn't see himself as this all-powerful ruler, this leader of men. Let's go down to verse 14 of chapter 6. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent you?" When God worked with Gideon, when God works with you and me, he knows where he's headed with us. We don't always understand what's happening. Gideon had no idea at this point what God was going to ask him to do. But God, who sees us in ways that we don't see ourselves, said to Gideon, "Look, Gideon, I've sent you. This is a done deal. Let's just get on with it." Verse 15, so he said to him, this is Gideon speaking, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." This is how God was able to work with Gideon. Gideon had humility. Gideon was a humble man, and Gideon saw where he needed God's help to do anything that was great. Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." God agreed with Gideon that he couldn't do it on his own. He had to have something bigger and stronger and more powerful, and that was God. Go ahead and hold in Judges, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Christ speaking here, and he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When God works with you and me, just like when he worked with Gideon, he can take our weaknesses and make them into his strengths. So what could we learn from Gideon's humility? Could we learn that that is the mindset that God wants from you and me? Understanding that if we have that, God will work more with us. Maybe what we do is at the feast, we say to ourselves, "I need to develop this type of humility." Maybe you give up the better parking space or give up the better seat. Or maybe during this part of the feast when people get a little run down, you make an extra effort in prayer and Bible study to ask God for the right mindset. Because I think all of us know, when it gets to be a little tiring, you know, you miss some sleep, you can get a little irritable, this is the time where God wants us to take this lesson from Gideon and apply it to the feast. To say, "I'm going to act and I'm going to be for the next 3 or 4 days a little bit more humble than I naturally would be." Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll read verses 5, 6, and 7. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be submissive one to another. Find out what's best for the other person and do what's best for the other person. Maybe you're going to lunch with somebody today or dinner, or you're having some activity and you really want to do X, but someone else wants to try Y. Maybe decide, you know, for the next few days, I'm going to go ahead and be more submissive to someone else. I'm going to go ahead and let someone else have the better way, or let them have their way, because I want this feast to be a turning point in my life so that when I go home, I am becoming a different person. And here's why. The second part of verse 5, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God looks at you and me, and He says to you and me, when you resist being proud, when you accept and put on humility, I'm going to do more for you. I'm going to become closer to you, and we're going to have a better relationship. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, the world does not embrace humility. When you turn on the TV and you see Donald Trump, nobody says there is a man after God's own heart with humility. Or Madonna, or ball players who are making millions of dollars and start to believe they're worth it and start acting out in certain ways. But you and I are called to something different. We're called to a way of life that says, I'm going to live my life under the hand of God in submission to Him and in submission to one another. And that is what Gideon did. But we'll see as the story goes on, Gideon did that, but he still acted. He wasn't humble and then just said, well, I can't do anything, so I'm just going to sit back and wait for something else to happen. All through this story, one of the lessons is that God wants action from you and me. If in my mind I say to myself, I need to be more humble, and then I don't live it, it doesn't mean anything. God wants from you and me action. Go back to Judges chapter 6, please. Judges chapter 6. There's a story here about Gideon interacting with God. And that has an incredible feast lesson for you and me. What we'll start to see is Gideon's personality and how he needed God to go back and forth with him so that he had the faith and the courage and the belief to take these steps forward. We'll start out in verse 17. Prior to this, actually we'll go ahead and, we'll start in verse 17. Prior to this was a story of where Gideon said to God, please show me that you're with me. And God performed a miracle, and Gideon said, now I believe. Just like sometimes you and I at certain points in our life feel like we believe, Gideon said, now I believe. But then when he was ready to go do something more, he got a little bit more cold feet, like I think sometimes you and I may get. We know how to live. We know what to do. We take a step out on faith. We get smacked down a little. We pull back in. And then God says, okay, let's go at it again. We'll go down to verse 17. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is you who talks with me. And this is where a miracle happened, where he had an offering, he poured liquid over it, and God consumed it with fire. Verse 22, it says, now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon's starting to change. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar and started to worship God. So he's interacting with God. He's going back and forth with God. He's spending time with God. Go down to verse 36, but he still needed more. Chapter 6, verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, so he still has some doubt. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, If there is dew on the fleece only and dry on the ground, then I shall know. So again, Gideon is trying to develop who and what he is. He is, through interacting with God, learning from God, and growing in faith. Then I shall know that you will save Israel as you have said. And it was so when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, they wrung out dew of the fleece that filled a bowl of water. So now what's Gideon's next step? He's already had one miracle, then a second miracle. And then verse 39, Gideon says to God, "Do not be angry with me." How many times have you and I asked God to show us something, God shows us something, and then we still are looking for something more? I think this is the human condition. Most of us, well, I would say all of us, struggle often with these types of things. Is God really telling me this? Is God really showing me this? Can I really do this at school or at work? Can I really explain what I believe to the people I work with? Or am I going to have some negative repercussion? Verse 39, then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece." So now he prayed and the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. What would Gideon take away from the feast that you and I are at? What would he learn through all the interacting with messages and discussions and learning stories about other people? I think he would learn what you and I can learn, that God wants us to interact with him more and more. The Feast of Tabernacles isn't an accident. It is a deliberate plan from God to take you and me out of our normal environment and say, spend 7 days plus one learning more about me. Because I want you over the next 12 months to come out to the feast next year as different, better, more converted, more mature, and more faith-filled human beings. We know 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ." That's what we're here doing now. We're interacting with God and we're learning from God through prayer and Bible study. We're listening to messages and we're learning things that we may have heard over the years but maybe aren't in the front of our minds. We're getting together with friends and we're hearing stories of how they're dealing with problems and learning and growing. And that's another way we can learn. You know, I hear stories about people that are here today who I had a car accident this week, but still got up and came to church today. Maybe people who have been sick. Maybe people who have been struggling with health problems. They're still here. Maybe people who have gone through job problems throughout the year and are here, like what Mr. Horchak said, on a shoestring budget, but they're still here. That is what we can learn from Gideon. Gideon said, "I've got to interact over and over and over with God." And that's what we can learn from this. That if we come to the feast, if we spend the feast interacting with God, interacting with one another, hearing stories of faith. You know, I've heard a story of a family here, I've met some of them, that there are 30 people from the same family here at the feast. What could I learn from that? You know, how could I change the generations coming after me that I could treat my family in such a way that at some point there could be a group like that keeping the feast, believing the same thing? God wants us to interact with Him, and God wants us to learn and to grow and to change who and what we are as people. To leave the feast with a list of things to change over the next year. A list of goals to accomplish, a list of things to improve on. Instead of saying, you know, I'm a water house and that's just how water houses act. I don't know why you're laughing at that. Now, I know my wife laughs at that, but I don't know why you all are laughing at that. But there are things that I think we get into ruts and we say, well, you know, that's just how I am. Maybe over the next 12 months, put that down on paper. Pray about that every week. Find helps to change how you and I think. Maybe set a goal to change how you act, how I act. Because we need to come to the feast next year as different people than we are today. Whether you're 15, 50, or 90, God expects us to interact with Him and to change. Go back to Judges chapter 7, please. So Gideon starts to believe God. Gideon says, I'm going to go ahead and gather an army, and I'm going to attack the Midianites because God's delivering us. So sometimes you and I get excited, and we say, I'm going to go do what God wants. So Gideon gathered 32,000 soldiers. And during this time, God says to himself, now he doesn't say this, I'm assuming he says to himself, Gideon's got 32,000 people. If Gideon goes and wins the battle, he's going to take credit for it to a certain degree. So we look at 7 verse 2. Chapter 7 verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself. Verse 3, now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart. And 22,000 of the 32,000 soldiers said, see you later. So Gideon sees an army of tens of thousands down in the valley. He gathers 32,000. 22 of the 32 say, we've had enough, we're okay eating the scraps, we're going to live in the caves in the hills. But at least Gideon has 10,000. Verse 4 it says, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them. So he had these soldiers go down to the water and he said, drink out of the water. And almost all of them put their faces down into the water and started drinking. 300 of them were soldiers. 300 of them knew that you have to be scanning the horizon at all times or the enemy may attack. 300 of them took the water in their hands and brought the water to their face. 300 of them were actually ready to go battle. So God tells Gideon, take the 300, let the other 11,700 go, and we're going to go fight a battle. Now again, I don't know about you, but if I was in that situation, I would be a nervous wreck. Because if I had 32,000, you know, there's a fighting chance, and you kind of put the dumb ones up front, let them take the first wave. You know, you kind of stay in the back and direct them as the powerful general that you are. But when you bring it down to 300, there's no one to hide behind. I'm glad you got that. Let's go down to verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore. And when Gideon had come there, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. So what happened was, God knew Gideon needed some reassurance, so he told Gideon, take your buddy and go down to the edge of the camp and just kind of find out what they're talking about. And they got down to the edge of the camp, verse 13, and someone said, I've had a dream, one of the Midianites. And to my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp and came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian to the whole camp. Who was fighting this battle for Gideon? They had not even seen Gideon's army come down, and they were defeated already. When God is on our side, it may not always look pretty, it may not always look great, but it always ends the same way. If God's on our side, we will win the battle. Go down to verse 16. Here's what Gideon did. He took his 300, and he did what any normal general would do. He gave them all a flashlight and a plastic bucket and a trumpet. Now, how would we feel if Mr. Weber came up here and he goes, good afternoon. You know, he leans down at the mic. And he says to you and me, we're going to get some flashlights and some kazoos, and we're going to go take this Navy base in San Diego. That's what Gideon told these guys. But what was happening is they, over time, started to realize that it was God who was leading this. So he went with 100 down the middle. They sent 100 on each side. And as they got close, they blew a trumpet. They broke the vessels. The flame showed, and the noise was happening. And this army jumped up out of their tents, was terrified, started running in all directions and killing one another, and then escaping across the valley to get away from them. When God told Gideon to go out and do something great, Gideon did it. When Gideon obeyed God, good things happened. How would Gideon live as a result of this Feast of Tabernacles? How would Gideon live between now and the feast in 2014? How would Gideon approach the day-to-day battles in his life? You and I are going to be leaving in a couple of days. We're going to be going back to where we came from. We're going to be going back to school, back to work. We may be a little bit behind in a class, or we may have 700 emails to get through. We may have a coworker who's upset because he or she had to put in longer hours. Will we ever let that get us to the point where we say, you know, the feast, it's great and all, but man, I just don't know if it's worth it. What we learned from Gideon is, no matter what happens, if we follow God's call, we'll be back here next year, we'll be different people, we'll be better people, and we will be closer to God. Next year in Oceanside, if 700 people show up, and those 700 people have spent 52 weeks improving who they are, who we are as people, what will the Feast of Tabernacles be like next year? What will the Feast of Tabernacles be like if we dedicate our lives to living the way Gideon lived, to doing things that Gideon did, to interacting with God, to living a humble life, to finding out what God wants us to do and going out and doing it? That's the opportunity you and I all have. That's the opportunity that lies before us. To read the story of Gideon, to me, is incredibly encouraging. Because here's somebody who had some doubts, somebody who had some concerns, but went through these methodical steps of accepting who and what he was, being humble, of interacting multiple times with God over just a couple of day period. If that's what he did over that couple of days, what do you think he had been doing for the last decade? This wasn't something new that he decided, you know, I'm going to try a different way of interacting with God. And then he did what God told him to do, just like each and every one of you are doing today. God says to you and me, come to the feast, observe the feast, and live what you're being taught. And every single one of you obeyed God and are sitting here this morning. You are doing what Gideon did. You are stepping out on faith. You are interacting with God. You're planning the upcoming year. You're looking forward to doing bigger and better and greater things. When I read the story of Gideon, it's no different than the story of each of us sitting here today. We've accepted what God has given us. We've interacted with God. And we're doing what God says. There's a quote from George Washington. And he was going through a difficult time back in the 1770s. He was battling for his life. And he wrote a letter to one of his generals. And in that letter he said, we should never despair. Our situation before has been unpromising and has changed for the better. So I trust it will again. If new difficulties arise, we must only put forth new exertions and proportion our efforts to the state of the times. Gideon changed his life because of the state of the times. Gideon was humble, interacted with God, and went out and did what God wanted. At the feast this year, we can learn that from Gideon. We can learn that God wants 700 people here who are willing to subject our wants and desires for the good of someone else. We can learn that there are 700 people here who on a daily basis are interacting with God. And not just in a quiet, calm way, but in a way that says, God, show me what you want. I have two job opportunities, not me personally, but there are people here who are going to go back and have decisions, big decisions to make. Decisions about health issues. Do I do this type of treatment or that type of treatment? And we can interact with God and say, God, show me what you want. Lead me where you want me to go. Change me to become who and what you want me to become. And then we can learn from Gideon during this feast that God wants action. God wants you and me to be heavily involved in our lives, in our relationship with Him, in our churches. He wants us to go into our schools and be the very best we can be. Go into our jobs and be the very best we can be. Go into our neighborhoods and be the very best example we can be. The Gideon Feast says we can take on the coming year with obedience, with faith, and with courage. God has called you and me to an incredible blessing. He's called you and me to be here at this feast, to have the opportunity to see millions of years into the future, and to make a decision that says, I will choose this way, I will commit to this way, I will live this way, and I will be back here next year at the Feast of Tabernacles. Because nothing will stand in my way if I'm obeying God. God has called you and me to be modern day Gideons. God has called you and me to follow Him. God has called you and me to do battle. And God has called you and me to be victorious.